Imagine a burning building. You know, the structure is actively collapsing, the heat is literally melting the paint off the walls, and the smoke is so thick you can't even see your own hands.
Right, it's just a terrifying, chaotic environment.
Exactly. Now, a firefighter crosses the threshold, heads straight into that inferno, and perfectly navigates the debris to find the source of the blaze. But here's the thing. This firefighter isn't breathing oxygen.
Because it doesn't have a pulse.
Yeah. It is a fully autonomous, 100% electric machine. And it's making split-second life-or-death decisions completely on its own.
It really is a visceral image. I mean, for decades, our relationship with technology, and specifically artificial intelligence, it's been confined behind a piece of glass, you know?
Right, yeah. You tap the screen on your phone or, you know, you type on your laptop keyboard.
Exactly. The digital world was infinitely vast, sure, but it stayed inside the box. We lived out here in the physical world, and the data lived in there.
Well, that boundary is officially gone. Welcome to today's deep dive. We've got a stack of tech news sourced from Tech in Morning, dated April 25, 2026.
And it is a fascinating stack of sources.
It really is. So we are looking at six major developments that dropped almost simultaneously. If you just glance at the headlines, you see a new AI model, a satellite launch, a video game controller, a smart fridge, a robot.
Yeah, they sound totally unrelated at first.
Right. But when you curate them together, a massive paradigm shift actually reveals itself. The artificial intelligence we've been talking about for years is actively breaking out into the physical world.
We are witnessing the construction of a brand new infrastructure for reality. I mean, when you look at the connective tissue between these sources, you realize we're giving these digital brains hands, eyes, and an omnipresent nervous system to operate on a planetary scale.
So let's start with the brain of this new reality. OpenAI just dropped an absolute bombshell. Mm-hmm. On April 23, 2026, they officially released GPT 5.5.
Also known by its internal code name, Spud.
Yeah, Spud. And the CEO, Greg Brockman, is calling it their most intelligent and intuitive model ever. But the spec that really jumped out at me wasn't the parameter count, it was the calendar. This model dropped exactly 48 days after GPT 5.4.
Right, and what's fascinating here is that 48-day development cycle. It is the hidden earthquake in this announcement.
Because it's just so fast.
Unbelievably fast. Go back just a few years, we measured AI generational leaps in years. Then, you know, it compressed to 6 months. Now we are looking at a near monthly release cadence for foundational model.
Which completely breaks the traditional corporate hardware and software cycle. I mean, you can't even get a budget approved for new servers in an enterprise IT department in 48 days, let alone actually deploy them.
Oh, absolutely not.
So if you built your company's infrastructure around an AI model from like 2 months ago, you are already running legacy technology.
Which forces a radical agility on the market. But, you know, the speed of the release is only secondary to the nature of the model itself. The source material highlights that GPT 5.5 is making what they call the agentic shift.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. Up until recently, using an AI was basically like using a magical, hyper-smart dictionary, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You type in a prompt, it spits out an answer, and then it goes completely dormant. It just waits for you to do something else.
Yeah.
The agentic shift means it's acting less like a dictionary and more like an autonomous employee.
It possesses agency. You aren't just asking for a recipe or, you know, a single line of code anymore. You are assigning it a multi-step, complex objective.
And giving it a whole project.
Exactly. You tell the model, build me a website that tracks local real estate prices, host it, and email me a daily summary. The agentic AI plans out the 10 steps required to actually do that.
Wow.
It uses external tools, it browses the web, it writes the code, it checks its own work, and if it hits an error, it doesn't just give up and ask you what to do, right? It handles the ambiguity and iterates until the objective is fully complete.
And doing that requires immense computational horsepower. Our sources list the hardware running this thing as the NVIDIA GB200 NVL72 infrastructure. Now, for anyone listening who isn't deep in the semiconductor weeds, why does that specific string of letters and numbers matter?
Because it represents a massive leap in how we physically process data. The NVL72 isn't just a chip. It's an entire rack of GPUs connected by high-speed copper links, acting as one giant liquid-cooled super brain.
So it's basically treating a whole server rack as a single processor.
Yes. The architecture eliminates the communication bottlenecks between different processors. Because they operate in such unified harmony, we are seeing a 50x improvement in energy efficiency per megawatt of output.
A 50 times improvement in energy efficiency. I mean, that means the cost of running the AI just plummets, right?
Drastically. OpenAI is pricing this at just $5 per million input tokens and $30 per million output tokens.
Wait, before we move on to the economics of that, let's clarify the jargon for the listener. What exactly is a token in this context? Are we talking about a word, a character, a line of code?
That's a good distinction to make. Think of a token as a chunk of a word. A standard rule of thumb is that one token is roughly 3/4 of an English word.
Okay, got it.
So a million tokens is roughly a 750,000 word book. You can feed a novel's worth of information into this AI for $5.
That is absurdly cheap. And it democratizes the technology entirely. The reporting specifically points out how this pricing opens the floodgates for independent developers globally.
Yeah, they mentioned small teams in Iran, right?
Yes, exactly. Small teams in Iran who can now build enterprise-grade software products for just a fraction of the historical cost.
And they don't even need a massive engineering team to do it, because GPT 5.5 comes with a new codex integration. The model can write entire software projects from scratch, locate bugs across thousands of lines of code, and even write its own automated tests.
That's wild.
It is. One human developer acting as an architect can now direct the AI to do the tedious work of a 5-person engineering team. OpenAI is pitching this entire ecosystem as a super app. A single layer to rival Apple, Google, and Microsoft.
Which means the titans have to fight back. I mean, if OpenAI wants to be the layer between humans and the digital world, Google has to respond. And they did, on the exact same day, April 23.
Right, with Chrome Skills.
Yeah, Google rolled out this massive update called Chrome Skills. They are turning the Google Chrome web browser from a passive window into an active agentic assistant. You can summarize an entire hour-long video into 3 bullet points.
Which is a huge time saver.
Totally. It can also translate foreign websites instantly while preserving all the visual formatting, fill out complex job applications, and synthesize research across 20 open tabs.
They are leveraging their 3.5 billion active Chrome users to instantly distribute an AI assistant that directly competes with Microsoft's Copilot. Nobody has to download a new app. The browser just wakes up one morning with cognitive abilities.
Okay, but pause. I have to challenge this. If my browser is suddenly doing all of this heavy listing reading, every single banking tab I open, scanning my private emails to write responses, synthesizing my calendar, isn't that a massive privacy nightmare?
That's a very fair question.
Right. Like, Google is just hoovering up all my local private data to process this on their servers. Not to mention, running an AI on my laptop should melt the processor and drain the battery in 10 minutes.
That is the natural reaction, and it's where the software engineering gets incredibly clever. Chrome Skills does not send your web page data to the cloud to be processed. Google is utilizing smaller, highly optimized models called Gemini Nano. These are specifically designed to run 100% locally on your device's existing CPU or GPU.
So no server ping at all. Everything stays right there on the laptop.
No server ping for the processing.
Why?
Now, how do they fit a massive AI model onto a standard laptop? They use a technique called quantization. Think of it like taking a massive high-resolution RAW photograph and compressing it down into a JPEG.
Oh, making the file size manageable.
Exactly. You mathematically strip out microscopic weights and parameters that aren't strictly necessary. The AI loses a tiny fraction of its overall reasoning power, but it becomes light enough to run locally without draining your battery or sending your private data to a data center.
And it is brilliant. So you have the autonomous agent, but the privacy bottleneck is completely solved.
Yeah.
They are rolling it out in beta right now in the US, the UK, and Canada, scaling globally by Q4 of 2026.
But we have to look at the vulnerability here. If we are putting autonomous agentic AI on billions of devices, and eventually into autonomous vehicles and drones, they require constant, unbreakable connectivity.
Because if they drop offline, they're useless.
Right. If an autonomous system hits a cellular dead zone, it loses its ability to pull external data. The physical infrastructure has to keep up with the software.
Which brings us to the global nervous system. If the software is the brain, low Earth orbit is the nervous system. Also on April 23, SpaceX launched its 40th Starlink mission of the year. They pushed 24 V2 mini-optimized satellites up from Vandenberg Space Force Base.
It's just a relentless launch schedule.
It really is. And the sheer scale of what SpaceX is doing is hard to wrap your head around. They now have over 10,020 active satellites in orbit.
That number represents roughly 65% of all active satellites globally. Let that sink in. A single private entity controls nearly two-thirds of the planet's active orbital infrastructure.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The breakthrough isn't just the sheer number of satellites. It's the direct-to-cell service they're rolling out. You don't need a special angled satellite dish mounted on your roof anymore.
No, not at all.
Starlink is providing global 4G coverage directly to the standard everyday smartphone already sitting in your pocket.
And mechanically, that sounds impossible to people who understand radio frequencies.
Right. Because if you are holding a normal phone, the internal antenna is tiny. It's designed to talk to a cell tower maybe a mile or two away. How on earth is a weak smartphone antenna pushing a signal hundreds of miles straight up through the atmosphere to a satellite?
Because the innovation isn't in the phone, it's on the satellite. SpaceX essentially built advanced E-Node B modems. Think of them as highly sensitive flying cell towers directly onto the orbital hardware.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they are broadcasting a standard LTE cellular signal downward with so much precision and power that your phone's regular antenna thinks there is just a standard cell tower hovering directly above you.
Yeah, it feels like science fiction. And the business strategy here is just fascinating. Historically, satellite internet was seen as a disruptor to terrestrial mobile operators like Verizon or AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
But SpaceX completely flipped the script.
They did. They aren't trying to bankrupt them.
Exactly. They're partnering with the major carriers like T-Mobile in the U.S. and O2 in the U.K. You don't buy a new SIM card. You don't subscribe to Starlink on your phone. When you drive out of range of a normal cell tower, your phone just seamlessly fails over to the satellite.
They turned their biggest potential rivals into eager distribution partners, and the source material outlines their 2027 horizon. Next year, they launch the second generation of direct-to-cell, which will offer true 5G speeds and 100 times the data density of the current generation.
If we look at the macro picture here,
yeah. We
are talking about the complete eradication of the dead zone.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally changes global logistics. An autonomous combine harvester working a massive remote agricultural field never loses its connection to the AI optimizing its route.
Oh, that makes sense.
Or think about maritime shipping, aviation, search and rescue operations in the Himalayas. They suddenly have uninterrupted high-speed data. The concept of being disconnected is basically being engineered out of existence.
Okay, so we've established the cognitive software with GPT 5.5 and the omnipresent global nervous system with Starlink. What happens when we take that constant, intelligent connectivity and bake it right into the physical objects we touch in our homes?
You get the translation of data into tactile physical feedback.
I want to start in the living room with a story that has total dorm room Tony Stark energy. A high school student managed to design a miniature direct drive steering wheel and integrate it directly into the middle of a standard video game gamepad.
Which is incredible on its own.
Right. And then the hardware company GameSir saw it online, bought the rights, commercialized it, and now we have the GameSir Swift Drive. It retails for an incredibly affordable $150 to $200.
To appreciate why this is a massive leap for consumer hardware, we have to look at how controllers normally work. For the last 20 years, physical feedback in a game controller was just a generic rumble pack.
Yeah, just that buzzing feeling.
Exactly. A little off-center weight spinning on a motor that makes your hands vibrate when you crash.
But this uses direct drive technology.
Yes. Direct drive means the motor in the controller is connected directly to the miniature steering shaft. There are no belts or plastic gears to slip, dull the sensation, or add lag. It provides near-zero latency tactile feedback.
The specs on this handheld device are wild. The wheel has 30 to 1080 degrees of rotation. It uses Hall effect sensors on the joysticks and triggers. Now, usually, joysticks use little physical wipers that rub against a track to measure your thumb's movement.
And over time, that physical friction wears them down.
Right, which is why your video game character eventually starts walking sideways on their own. It's called stick drift. But Hall effect uses magnets. There is zero physical contact, zero friction. It measures the changes in the magnetic field, meaning the controller essentially never wears out.
That's a huge upgrade.
And plus, it has three separate haptic motors dedicated purely to simulating the pulse of anti-lock brakes or the exact microsecond your virtual tires lose grip on the asphalt.
It is the miniaturization of a heavy $1,000 professional racing simulator rig, democratized and shrunk down to fit perfectly in your hands.
But feeling the road in a racing game is ultimately entertainment. Let's walk into the kitchen, where the integration of AI and physical hardware starts impacting household economics. Let's talk about the new GE Profile Smart Refrigerator.
I know what the listener is thinking. The smart fridge has been a tech industry punchline for a decade.
Oh, absolutely.
It's usually just a standard refrigerator with an underpowered tablet glued to the door so you can tweet while you pour milk.
Exactly. If you're listening to this and thinking, I don't even trust my fridge to dispense crushed ice properly, let alone act as an AI hub, I completely get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference here isn't the cooling mechanism. It's the sensor array.
It's loaded with sensors.
Yes. This fridge has three high-definition cameras inside and microscopic weight sensors built into every single shelf. It is tracking its own inventory 24 hours a day.
And it feeds that sensor data directly into an AI using OCR optical character recognition.
Right. So the AI isn't just guessing what's in there based on shape. The cameras are literally reading the text on the packaging. It reads the expiration date printed on the yogurt. It feels the weight of the milk jug and calculates that you have exactly 12 ounces left.
And because it possesses that agentic quality we discussed earlier, it doesn't just send you a notification, it takes action. The AI auto-populates a dynamic shopping list based on your actual consumption habits.
So it knows what you need before you do.
Pretty much. That list syncs directly with APIs for Instacart or Amazon Fresh. You can restock your kitchen with one click. It will even suggest recipes based on exactly what ingredients are physically sitting on the shelves, prioritizing the items that the OCR read are expiring in the next 48 hours.
Our sources indicate this system reduces household food waste by up to 30%. Now, let's elevate that insight. We aren't just talking about saving a family $50 a month.
No, the macro implications are huge.
Right. If 100 million households stop overpurchasing groceries by 30%, because their refrigerator is actively managing their consumption, what happens to the global grocery supply chain?
You fundamentally alter global agricultural demand. It introduces massive deflationary pressure on food prices. This is why the Internet of Things is transitioning from a gimmick into a genuine economic investment.
It actually affects the wallet.
Exactly. The source notes that for families globally, citing examples like Iran, where inflation heavily impacts grocery costs, this hardware provides meaningful financial relief.
Saving money on groceries and feeling the tire slip in a video game are incredible consumer conveniences. But when you take autonomous intelligence, pair it with physical hardware, and drop it into an extreme life or death situation, well, the stakes change entirely.
Which brings us to the most visceral physical manifestation of AI in our source material.
On February 24, 2026, Hyundai Motor Group, a massive collaboration between their motor, robotics, and mobility divisions, delivered a fully unmanned firefighter robot to South Korea's National Fire Agency.
This is a heavy-duty piece of machinery designed for environments that are fundamentally incompatible with human biology. Collapsing structures, explosion risks, toxic gases, and extreme heat.
The robot is 100% electric. And the reason that is critical isn't about saving the environment. Think about the physics of a fire. An internal combustion engine requires oxygen to run.
Right. The fire is eating all the oxygen.
Exactly. In a severe fire, the blaze is actively consuming all the available oxygen in the room. A gas-powered robot would literally choke and stall out. An electric engine doesn't care. It just keeps rolling.
But the hardware durability is really only half the story. The software is where the true breakthrough lies. Using locally processed AI, this robot doesn't just blindly spray water into a smoky room.
It's much smarter than that.
It navigates chaotic, dynamic environments autonomously. It actively searches for the thermal source of the fire, analyzes the structural integrity of the room, and calculates the best strategy to extinguish the blaze all without waiting for a human operator to push a button on a joystick.
The testing data from the fire agency is incredible. It achieved a 99.67% AI test success rate in live fire simulations. And they aren't just sending in one robot either.
Right. They are using swarms.
Yeah. Researchers are actively field testing a swarm system. Multiple AI robots enter a burning structure simultaneously. They communicate with each other over a local mesh network, dividing up the search grid. If a piece of burning ceiling collapses and crushes one of the robots, the swarm instantly recalibrates.
Wow.
The remaining robots divide up the disabled unit's tasks, without missing a single beat.
It is applied swarm intelligence in the physical world.
So what does this all mean? Are we completely replacing human firefighters with machines?
No, and Hyundai's reporting is very explicit about this protocol. The entire architecture is built around human-robot collaboration, not replacement. The goal is extreme risk mitigation.
Keeping the humans out of the worst parts.
Exactly. Human firefighters evaluate the broader tactical situation and direct the operation from a safe strategic distance outside the collapse zone. The machines cross the threshold into the highest risk areas.
They do the jobs human biology simply shouldn't be subjected to.
Exactly. And this is merely the beachhead. If an AI can successfully map and navigate a dynamic, unpredictable, deteriorating environment like a building fire, the barrier to entry for other hazardous industries just vanishes.
Like what else?
Well, it paves the way for autonomous swarm systems in deep underground mining, highly toxic chemical spill cleanups, and earthquake search and rescue. When AI can reliably make split-second physical decisions in unknown environments, the boundary of what we can safely manage expands dramatically.
It really is a completely new era. So let's bring this all together for you, the listener. Think about the massive journey we just took through these seemingly disconnected sources.
It's quite a wide spectrum.
It really is. We started with the brain. Cognitive software, making the agentic shift, acting autonomously with GPT 5.5 and Chrome skills. Then we look at the nervous system, a global 5G satellite constellation ensuring that this intelligence never hits a dead zone.
And then we watch that omnipresent intelligence take physical form.
It showed up in our hands through the precise haptics of the GameSir Swift Drive. It showed up in our kitchens, scanning expiration dates and manipulating macroeconomics through the GE profile fridge. And finally, we saw it navigating the chaos of a burning building to save lives.
The overarching takeaway is undeniable.
Yeah, artificial intelligence is no longer a parlor trick trapped behind the glass of your monitor. It has become a tangible layer of reality that we can touch and that is actively manipulating the physical world around us.
And as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final implication to mull over. We've spent this entire deep dive examining how machines are learning to navigate our physical world, how the robot sees the burning room, how the fridge reads the milk carton.
Right.
But consider the inverse. If artificial intelligence can now perfectly map, navigate, and manage physical spaces, how long until those spaces are no longer built for us? How long until our warehouses, our grocery stores, and eventually our cities are designed and architected primarily to be read and navigated by autonomous machines rather than human beings?
Oh, wow.
Flipping the script on urban design, building a city optimized for the AI sensors, not for the human eye. That is a wild, slightly unsettling thought to walk away with. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. The pace of this technology is staggering, but understanding the mechanisms behind the headlines is how you stay ahead of the curve. Keep questioning the world around you, keep learning, and we'll catch you on the next one.